Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and Cam Cleland.
Matt?
Yeah, Matt!
Good and mad, Cam! Yeah.
What do you want to do about it?
It feels good, doesn't it? But you're still alive, right?
Yeah!
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Is Case of the Thursdays a thing? Can I make it a thing? Good morning.
No, Thursday's my favorite day. It's not, no, you're not allowed to take... No. No, you're not allowed to take any negativity into Thursday.
I can't pee in your Cheerios?
No, absolutely not.
All right.
We had a guy that did that one time in training camp. He was so mad.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Literally?
What?
He whizzed in his Cheerios? Tell me more.
Not just the Cheerios. He was so upset of his group of linemen.
He did it to himself?
No. He did it to his teammates.
Oh, gosh. Why would he do that?
Because those guys were making him buy everything every day. And he was a rookie, and he said, enough of this. So he went to McDonald's and got all the Egg McMuffins and the McGriddles. I don't know if they had McGriddles then. And decided to give a little something extra in the orange juice.
Oh.
Can you believe that? Is that below the belt? And then chuckled all the way.
Yeah, that's a little below the belt.
Yeah. He just said those guys were being real D-bags, and they deserved it.
Okay. What happened to that guy?
He got cut.
He got cut for...
Nobody ever found out. This isn't secret. He told me he did that. Nobody ever found out.
That is Gabe Marks. Good call, Gabe Marks.
Like, I see how you could snap.
Did that guy play for UCLA?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
I could see how you could snap, but that's like, whoa.
Was it Wilcox?
No, it was not. No, he would never stoop to that level.
I could see Wilcox getting upset enough to do something crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure that's been done before. It's not like I'm saying anybody out there going, yeah. It's awful.
I've heard of that.
You know what Wilcox is? He's a big proponent of bro code, though. You know, and I'll say that violates a lot of bro code is whizzing somebody's orange juice.
Well, if you're Chad Ochocinco, you actually go around collecting urine.
Well, yeah, because
you soak your feet in it.
Yeah, it helps your ankles heal.
That's what his grandma, mama,
sprained ankles.
Said.
Yeah, there's some old wives' tales that just probably we should get rid of them.
You know what my dad used to do? He'd be like, you need to rub some witch hazel on that. I'm like, what?
Actually, that works.
I didn't even know what witch hazel was. When you said that to me, I thought it was just some old lady that was a witch would come over and sprinkle some dust on you. I don't know
Hazel?
What the heck is witch hazel?
Hmm.
What? I'm still befuddled by what witch hazel is.
You know what? I am too, but I've heard it works. I mean, people swear by it. People do swear by it.
I miss having the coffee can of bacon to cook and witch hazel. Mm. That's what we grew up with, man.
Wait, you don't have the coffee can?
Nope,
of bacon?
Don't have the Folgers can full of bacon grease that we cook with.
You don't fill your Keurig cups with bacon grease?
No, big things of Crisco, bacon grease, and witch hazel.
That's right.
That's all you needed.
Well, maybe that's
all I needed.
Maybe that's how Trump's going to make America great again, is by bringing back witch hazel and bacon grease.
Just don't let your mom come home with powdered milk and say we're budgeting. That's what we did.
Really?
We didn't have a lot.
How did that happen? How'd that go over with the family?
I was pissed.
I'm surprised the Cleveland clan wouldn't go the opposite direction.
No. It was just one of those things where your mom goes, you know what? You guys drink too much milk, so I thought we would go to powdered milk.
Yeah.
Did anybody go to powdered milk out there and ever was happy?
No.
No.
I think that I would see your family going more down the road of, we're just going to buy a cow. And we're going to go that route. Go direct to the source.
I do feel very spoiled, though. I did grow up in a time when we had milk service from the farm. right down the road.
Oh, really? You had the jugs coming to your front door,
it
huh?
It was very cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Well, now we start a radio show.
All right, let's do radio. Don't
How old
pee
are you?
On my Thursday.
How old are you, by the way?
40.
Milkman.
41.
Milkman, you look a lot like him.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
You know, a related note to that, did you know that in Hawaii, they have a Pog Man, or they had a Pog Man?
I love Pog juice.
Yeah. Passion orange guava.
It is excellent.
Yeah.
I always dilute it, though. I don't go full glass. I go half and half. I go half Pog.
What?
Water. I dilute it.
Why would you do that?
Because it's so sweet.
No, I feel you.
It's a little overwhelmingly sweet.
I'm a juice diluter.
Yes, I'm a half apple juice. Anything I dilute.
Either with water or champagne, depending on the time of day.
Not with alcohol. That adds more sugar.
I'm just saying, depending on the mood.
That's what you would do. Mm. No, half and half.
You know,
last Pog longer,
and,
too.
Pog and bourbon might not be bad.
They have
Pog and vodka would be all where you go.
They have Pog cocktails at 808 Hawaiian restaurant that nice. I like.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
808. Marcus from the 808.
Sure.
On this date in sports history, 1989, Ronald Reagan pardoned George Steinbrenner on 14 counts of making illegal contributions to Richard Nixon's reelection campaign and a felony count of obstruction of justice. I felt that one was needed because, you know, we're changing presidents soon. You know, this is the pardon time of the year. It's where people get out of jail and they get their records wiped clean.
Sure.
So, that's happened on this
Fresh
day.
New start.
That is for some. I mean, only if you're rich enough.
You're fired!
Today.
Who knew that milk would get the people so excited on the text line? It's like...
Milk does a body good.
Yeah.
Telling you.
We have RJ, who says, I grew up in Tillamook. Powdered milk would get somebody killed. That's actually probably true.
It's probably true.
Have you ever been to the Tillamook Cheese Factory?
I have not.
Oh, it's a treat.
I feel like I wouldn't...
Oh, my goodness.
I'd be backed up for a while if I got done there.
The milkshakes and the ice cream.
Yeah.
Cheese. It's wonderful.
Cheese, like fresh cheese.
Some cheese curds.
Everything.
People wondering if you've ever spent any time on the butter churn.
No.
I have actually churned butter
Never
before.
Churned butter.
Yeah.
I'm not Amish.
Yeah, that's what you do when you go to schools in the sticks. My elementary school directly across the street from a dairy.
I did live next to a dairy, and I smelled the dairy daily, especially if the wind shifted winter.
This guy says, exactly. It was a morning recess. Yeah. This guy says, my mom would add water to the half gallon, ruining the rest of the good milk. That's one way to do it.
I'm just telling you.
Water it down.
Mom's back then.
You start with whole milk.
Very frugal.
You start with whole milk, and by the end of it, you've got non-fat.
God sakes, I had to split a Happy Meal with my sister. Who splits a Happy Meal?
It's a mystery.
Who splits a Happy Meal?
It is a mystery. Angry kids.
Gosh.
It's an angry meal. It's a mystery you got as large as you are.
I don't know how that happened.
We all have a Change Realty NFL Challenge today, Baseball Hall of Fame, Pac-12 schedules. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Portland Trailblazers as well, all on the program.
Time to wake up.
It was an unbelievable play call. Last drives, Alex just drove us down there, fourth down after fourth down, making plays. The momentum's getting on our side, and then just get our jugulars ripped out because ref... I felt bad for James Harrison falling on the ground. It's ignorance. The ref number 51 shouldn't even be able to wear a zebra jersey ever again. He shouldn't even be able to work a foot locker.
Well, Travis Kelce, after we played that audio on Monday.
Yeah.
That was after the divisional round game.
Emotional reaction.
Well, it turns out that not only is Carl Sheffers qualified to work at Foot Locker still. He's qualified to work the Super Bowl. He will be the head referee of Super Bowl 51 as Roger Goodell takes his middle finger and points it directly at Travis Kelce. That's
good for you, Raj. Mr. Goodell. He's powerful. He can do what he wants.
That's a whole deal.
He's a well-liked man in the NFL circles.
I love how the NFL works that way. It's like, what can we do to kind of be in the news?
Do you think,
but be subtly there?
Rich white guys are spiteful and egocentric.
Yeah.
No, kind of like the Spanos family.
Yeah, they are. Oh, did you see that press conference yesterday?
I did. I saw a double bird coming from the fan. I loved it.
Oh, it was great.
Hey, wake up. I said wake up.
A big night of Pac-12 hoops tonight. You've got the 11th ranked Oregon Ducks at 13-5, California at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. I wonder if Justin Wilcox will pull the Willie Taggart, grab the mic at halftime, and give the rah-rah speech there.
Give the big speech to the Berkeleys.
Yeah. Beavs are at Stanford. They will play at 8 o'clock on the Pac-12 network. 14th ranked Arizona is at 16-3, though unranked USC, that game at 6 o'clock. There is some news out of that Wildcats program. One of their standouts, Alonzo Trier, who's a sophomore and one of the best players in the country, his season's kind of been in question all year because he got into a car accident over the summer, has been banged up, you know, but people are like, well, he should be back. Well, it turns out he failed a drug test in September, testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. And the NCAA agreed with him that he took a medication while he was recovering from his car accident.
Right.
That he didn't know was against the rules. So all he needs to do is have a clean test and he's
flush
good.
It from the system.
It is still not out of his system.
Is he still taking it?
Good question.
How long does it linger?
He says no. And here's the thing, is that some of these things, they can sit in your fatty tissues for months, even years.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Poor Alonzo Trier.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
What has worked so well for your group this year?
We fight for each other. You know, there's going to be some ups and some downs, but ultimately, we grind for each other. We got each other's back, and that's the most important thing. We have one mindset, and that's to win games. And they've been doing an unbelievable job so far.
Did he say we grind on each other?
I think with each other.
No, I think he said we grind for each other.
For each other. With,
not
on.
Not with or on.
James Harden on What's Different. Yes, they are fighting for each other instead of with each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about is Dwight Howard's not here anymore?
Can I?
Yeah.
Bold statement here. Dude. James Harden likable.
No, still not going there.
Oh.
Nationally, but I would say his
MVP.
Shifted. You want to hear
MVP?
Something ridiculous? James Harden has scored 38 points and dished out 8 assists yesterday in the Rockets' 111-92 win over the Bucks. Harden has scored or assisted on 50% of the Rockets' points this season.
That's...
Wrap your head around that.
It's pretty good.
He is having one of the all-time seasons, man. He is... it's amazing.
I appreciate what he's doing. I know if you don't like him or not, either way, the man can score.
I don't.
And you know what the Rockets are?
Fun.
Good.
Fun to watch, too.
Good.
They are good.
I watched them just... I watched the second half of their game against the Bucks, and they just... Bucks cut it to single digit, and they just opened it up. Mm-hmm. Everyone was hitting threes.
By the way, the Greek Freak was awesome last night. He had 32 points and 11 rebounds and I think 6 assists in that game. Also in the NBA, the Rockets or the Thunder and Warriors rekindled their little magical budding rivalry that I don't know if you can call a rivalry because the Warriors thumped them 121. To 100. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double in the third quarter. He had 27 points. He had a quadruple-double.
Can we just say it's the Russell Westbrooks versus Golden State?
Because
that's all it is.
Russell Westbrook had a quadruple-double last night.
And still got
Did
beat
you
by
see
20.
That?
Yeah.
He had 27 points, 15 rebounds, 13 assists. And the reason they lost by 20 is because he had 10 turnovers.
Yeah.
The quadruple-double for Russell Westbrook.
Man can play. He's really good. Good player.
Yeah, Kevin Durant went off on his old team, 40 points, 12 rebounds.
Yikes.
So in your
Can't
face.
Wait for the in-Oklahoma game.
Mm-hmm. The in-Oklahoma game is going to be fun.
That'll be better.
Yeah. Also, the Blazers' next opponent, the 76ers, they have won 7 of their last 9 games. They beat the Raptors 94-89. Joel Embiid, 26 points, 9 rebounds in the win. So watch out. Philly is playing really well. And the Blazers, they are not. And that is where we start. This team is feeling the pressure. Some real issues mounting for Rip City in their disappointing beatdown in Charlotte. This is Dusty and Cam on The Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
They have our attention. You know, we respect them. And, you know, it's more so us than anything else. You know, the coaches ain't out there. They ain't out there shooting, and they're not out there turning it over, and they're not out there having to play defense. So, I don't think that's even close to, you know, an issue.
That is Damian Lillard following the Portland Trail Blazers' disappointing 107-85 loss in Charlotte to the Hornets last night. The Blazers in the midst of a skid of skids, folks, and they are not playing good basketball whatsoever. After that big win against the Cleveland Cavaliers in Moda Center, 102-86, where they beat them down, they had those back-to-back games. That was the second of a back-to-back where they were in L.A., hold the Lakers to 87 points. 30 points in the second half is what the Lakers scored in that game. They come back after the travel nightmare, beat the Cavaliers, and we're sitting there, and this was just that that next moment where we said, could this be the turning point? It turns out no, it's not, because they go, they lose to the Magic, they get thumped by the Wizards, and now a kind of the culmination of this bad play was bad defense punctuated by bad offense as well, 107-85.
So the Hornets had lost five in a row. Now, yes, they had lost on the road five in a row. Now, whatever credit you want to give to that, they had lost to the Pistons, Spurs, Rockets, 76ers, and the Celtics. They play very well at home, but they're a 500 team with that win last night. Mm-hmm. That's a team that the Blazers should easily compete with. If we're going to compare mid-level teams or lower-level teams in whatever conference you want, those are the teams you should compete with. Didn't even look like they wanted to be on the court with them.
It's a favorable matchup for Portland too.
Certainly is,
because it's not like you don't go strength on strength. If you look at the Charlotte Hornets and what their strength is, it's their backcourt, and they have front court holes, and they've got front court issues. Cody Zeller did not look like Cody Zeller. He looked like a guy that could be You know, I'm not going to say an all-star because he only had 6 points, but he was all over the floor making plays for the Charlotte Hornets last night.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a game where if you look at this road trip, and even Philadelphia, which we were just talked about in the wake-up call, they have won 7 of their last 9 games. They're playing really well. That is a tougher matchup for the Blazers, what's coming up tomorrow night, than this Charlotte game was. And the Blazers absolutely laid an egg. And they said as much after the game. You hear Damian Lillard right there.
13 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah, that's how you close a game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 13 points.
And you hear him, Dame, saying, you know, talking about the coaches, because now it's at what point is Terry Stotts culpable for what's going on here, right?
Well, what are you talking about? What? Are you asking, or is everybody asking the question? It is the faults of everybody. No, it's a collective. You're asking my opinion, but yes. Yeah,
no, I was state what the question was that what he is asking is, you know, are the guys listening to Terry Stotts? Are they tuning him out? Because there is a growing sense amongst the fan base, which is, you know, and I think it's ridiculous. How much does this rest on Terry Stotts? And Dame said it himself. He said, that's ridiculous. He's not the one out there trying to make shots. How many open looks were either A, passed up, or missed in last night's game for the Portland Trailblazers? I'll tell you, it was a lot. It was a lot. And they were not able to capitalize on any 8 of 31 from 3.
Well, don't you think when you have situations like this, when you're struggling and when you're trying to search for things, because it feels like the Blazers are searching. They're searching for what are they like on offense. They are searching for, are we just a 3-point team? Do we have any semblance of an inside game? Are we going to have any penetration? Is it just the weave up top? Is it just a couple pick and pops? Who's going to be the best rotation? Where are we going to find the best defensive group? Who's going to be starting the rotation? The injuries. It's everybody. Everybody's culpable here. There's no finger pointing. It's just your collective, from the coaches all the way down to the players. And I appreciate Dame saying, look, he's telling us, this is Coach Stotts is telling us, dude, we're still listening. But it is. It's just when you go on a losing streak, the fingers are just going to start crisscrossing each other, but you always got to look back and point them right at yourself.
And here's the issue here with what happened with the Trailblazers last night. Charlotte double-teamed Dame and CJ. and nobody was able to make an open look.
Well, that's because they're their only offensive threat.
Be it Al-Farouq Aminu, who Aminu went 2 of 7, 1 of 5 from three. Maurice Harkless, who went 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 4 from three. I mean, you had Alan Crabb goes 2 of 7 from the field. There were open looks, and there were open looks all night long. They could not hit them because all Charlotte said is, we are going to take away Damian Lillard, and we are going to take away CJ McCollum, and you beat us. And the Blazers were not able to knock down
good
an
game
open
plan.
Shot.
I mean, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, can't you notice that every other team seems to be that are playing the Blazers are excellent at closing out or at least getting a hand up or having perimeter defense? Why? Because the Blazers are a perimeter team.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I actually had this conversation off the air, and you said, is CJ a better defender than Dame? And immediately my first reaction was no. But then after watching last night's game, I sat there and I went, oh my gosh, that was Damian Lillard got, and let's not act like Kemba Walker isn't a great scoring point guard because he's having a career year this year. But when it comes to that stuff, those little things as a defender, playing away from the ball, like, you know, grabbing a guy's elbow when you're going through a screen, getting close enough,
jersey pulling,
out,
whatever you want to do it.
The small things, right?
Hands. Yep.
Which may not be legal by the rule book, but it's what every good defender does, and it's what most pros do. You're not seeing that there, and I don't want this to sound like I'm saying Damian Lillard's like some overrated player or anything, but CJ McCollum was actually, I thought, doing a better job on the defensive end last night.
Well, defense is just attitude. It's desire. Mm. Offense is easy, right? I mean, because there's just this reward at the end of an offensive play.
Yeah.
I can score, I can penetrate, I can make a shot. What's the reward on defense when you stop a guy from getting a pass? Well, you don't immediately see it. So you don't get that same excitement or same value. We also don't look at stat lines for defense all the time from point guards or for shooting guards. We care about what their point lines.
Right.
What are they putting up offensively? So is it an attitude? Is it a coaching philosophy? Whatever it is, it looks like just a plain confusion and effort.
As much as people will, in the world we live in the NBA that we live in, you put it on your stars, star-driven league, right?
Oh, of course.
Last night's loss, in my opinion, came down to the rest of the collective not being able to buoy that team up. They went 3 of 16 from three in that first half. How about this? If you take the three-point and mid-range game, they made 5 shots in mid-range and from three in that first half. 13 of their 18 buckets had to come at the rim, and they had, 8 offensive rebounds in the first half. I mean,
you shot 31 threes, Dusty. 31.
And you made 8.
31.
And you made 8.
Is it just clear, though? I mean, this team is, they're a 3-point shooting team?
Oh, no doubt about it.
And we've known that, though, for a while. Has it been the last 2 seasons, legitimately? Because ever since LaMarcus is not here, the inside game is gone. Mm-hmm. There's no more inside presence. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Mason Plumlee, who gives you everything he got. He's he's been the most impressive for me this year, watching him improve. He's improved tremendously. This team is built on a 3-point shooting game.
Mm-hmm. I will say this.
With average 3-point shooters.
And, right, well, you have two, and then one guy who's streaky coming off the bench in Allen Crabbe. You got 2.5, and you need 3 to 4 if you play that game, right?
Yeah. Roy Hibbert was making threes.
Oh, well.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. At some point, everybody was making threes, it felt like. No, it wasn't Hibbert. I'm sorry. It was Kaminsky. Hibbert was dunking on everybody. Kaminsky was making threes.
28% on the season heading into last night, and he went, 3 of 6? But here's this, too, is that the Portland Trailblazers are a victim of what happens, the Golden State adjustment, right?
Mm, yeah.
And the Golden State, because
beat them, join them, right?
Every single person with a basketball mind in the NBA was figuring out how in the hell do you stop Golden State? Because they will shoot the lights out on you. Well, teams are figuring it out, and they may not be able to figure out Golden State quite yet because they've got like 900 guys that can score.
Oh, and a guy named Kevin Durant.
But they figured it out enough to stop teams that are lesser than Golden State.
Yeah.
And that, it's just like Oregon's offense, right, in football.
Oh, certainly.
It's just like the blur. It's just like when the wishbone was the offense in the NFL or in college football. You figure out a way to stop it, right?
But if you have elite talent or better talent, even if you do, there's always an answer, right? There's you can have an adjustment.
Yeah.
The Blazers don't have an adjustment.
Well, that's because you didn't have the guys that could knock down those open shots last night.
Yeah.
And you know that is why you kind of see heads hanging after last night's game.
Shots got to fall.
And you got to find a way to turn this thing around, man. Text at 55305. The Blazers suck this year as a result of the Mike and Mike curse. Bad move. Karma coming around. I disagree with that. By the way, people coming around to Lamar in Calabro.
Yeah, what's the feeling out there?
Calabro got excited for a couple of those calls last night. I like it.
I've always liked him. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of people are starting to come around.
I've loved.
It's just when they win.
You watched Kevin with the Sonics.
I grew up with
him. Yeah, he's great, man. He's really
fantastic.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
RJ wants to send down Oregon's strength and conditioning coach this month because he's not working to get him back working hard and playing with some heart.
By the way, if you don't like any of the Blazers announcers, get NBA League Pass and watch some other teams.
No. Yeah. Yeah. You'll appreciate them a lot more, man.
Yeah. Seriously.
Mm.
They're in the upper echelon.
Mm-hmm. This text, it's an entire team of one-sided players, all of them either good at offense or good at defense. They don't have two-way guys, and that's the frustrating part. Yeah. That's the life of the NBA. It's finding that mixture to work, though.
Balance, mixture.
Yep. And, you know, this is a tough spot that Portland is in. And this just may be where they're at is they may have taken a step back this year because of the adjustments that all the other teams in the NBA have made. 55305, that is our text line. It's how you can communicate with us. It's the end of an era in football. The NCAA on the cusp of eliminating two-a-days. Will it make the game safer or open a whole other door of issues? That is our textual relations. 55305 is the text line. Here's Crawford with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird and desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
Times are a change in Cam Cleland. The NCAA is meeting this week in Nashville, and they are going to be talking about a litany of rule changes issues with the NCAA. And one of them that has been proposed by Mark Emmert, the director of the NCAA, is eliminating two-a-days in football. No more daily doubles.
Wow.
We're not talking Jeopardy. No more two-a-day practices in college football is something that may become a big reality. Well, it could become a reality as soon as next year.
So the history of the two-a-day is quite long. I think it was always created, and everybody remembers why two-a-days in camp, and I always called it training camp. I remember seeing pictures of guys that were out of shape because guys had jobs in the off season when football was a recreation.
Undoubtedly so.
It wasn't a job. So you went to training camp to get in shape. Mm-hmm. Well, that obviously evolved and it became the fact that guys don't like to change because football players and coaches are creatures of habit. They don't know any different. And they start to evolve to the fact that, wait a minute, let's still do two-a-days. Mm-hmm. Two-a-days are one of those things where if you're a football player or you ever had the time, They give you, I don't know, night tremors because of just what they did to your body and
right.
Physically. I distinctly remember calling it Groundhog's Day because when we started college, it was the first day and it was 2 weeks straight.
You feel like Bill Murray.
Of two-a-days.
Yeah.
2 weeks. And we started on a Monday and didn't end till the following Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same day over and over again. It was just miserable. Yeah. It was probably one of the reasons why I really went, this sport. I loved games, but gosh, practices. So when I see this and I see the future of this game and understanding how it's more about safety and more about health and understanding that also you can train and keep these guys healthy, but you don't need to be banging 24/7 in two-a-days.
The recommendation to do this is from 16 medical and 5 football organizations have endorsed this, including the NCAA's chief medical officer. And this is something that, you know, on one token, it is that you don't need to hit, right? All like there are so many impacts, and the whole reason they're doing this is to try to reduce and minimize repetitive hits that lead to concussions.
Yeah,
because daily doubles is when most of those small repetitive hits happen, because you're practicing twice a day, and it's not like these practices are short. You're still going like an hour and a half, 2 hours each practice. So you want to, they're trying to minimize these concussion issues, but at the same time, does your body need some of this and need that kind of action to, yes, it may reduce concussions, but will we see more ligament injuries and more major muscle injuries like hamstring and quad tears as seasons go on because your body's just not ready?
I will say that football requires tons of repetitions because it's the most fundamental sport out there. There's so many different fundamentals based on every position. It's different because I can teach one basketball player the same fundamentals throughout the entire group. But the thing is, a receiver has completely different fundamentals than an offensive lineman, than a back, than a quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things you have to do. You have to have coaches that are well coached and understanding time management. And this challenges everything from the bottom all the way to the top. But you understand, once you get to this collegiate level, that if everybody's at the same playing field, and this is going to take some time now. There are a lot of coaches and there are a lot of people that believe that you have to continually hit and you have to do all these things. Well, numbers are going to get to the point where this is what football will evolve to. Football will evolve to a one-hit-a-day game. One-hit-per-week game. And that's it. You're not going to hit. When I say one hit,
full contact.
Yeah, well, there's practice. Only going to, I mean, that's really what we're trying to evolve to is the only contact happens on game day. And I think that if you get to the point, which is really hard for all of us traditionalists when it comes with football, because there were times when I would, especially with the Rams, we went through a 3-game losing streak. And next thing you know, Coach Martz is like, we're going back to 9-on-7 in full contact. Right. And that's all you knew because was it a punishment? Was it we become soft? Because you don't want to be known as soft. Well, guess what? Your same desire is not changed on game day as it is during the week. Mm-hmm. Physically, though, you have to recover. I think this is the evolution of football. This is the evolution of sports, being smarter, being more intelligent with how you practice, being sharper, being more fundamental, tackling drills. We've seen robot tackling dummies now out there teaching.
Dartmouth, thank you for that.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things you can do with this game. But you know what? We'll still consume it and we'll love it.
Okay, now you mentioned that a reduction. You say it'll go down to a 1 day a week. There's also the idea that they will reduce the number of full contact practices yet again from 4 to 3 during the week. Now, I don't know about your experiences, but I don't ever remember going 4 full contact practices anyways in a week. But they're just saying the option to have 4 is going to be no longer either. And that includes training camps.
Well, I think there's definite feelings of what you do collegiately. It was 4 days of contact from Monday all the way through.
Gosh, must have been why we weren't very good.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of the theories of what it was.
Yeah.
Professionally, it started off the season with 2 contacts, and by the time you got to probably week 6 or 7, you ended up doing 9-on-7 on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then as soon as 9-on-7 was done, you took the pads off and you practiced the rest of the practice. Excuse me. Oh. So you got a little bit of contact. You understood in the run game you needed to get your fits, and players understand that. You have to be able to practice with great tempo and speed. But here we are. You watch some of these. Watch these high school games. Watch these camps. These kids are going full speed, and they're going after it. You still need to practice with speed. You just have to be smarter.
You know, there are questions. Will this affect the product on the field too? Because you're taking away those valuable practices and repetitions on the field. Why it won't is next. And the NCAA is proposing yet another change in player safety that college football fans should be happy about. This is Dustin Kam on The Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the NCAA is likely, and I'm not, I say this, that nothing is sure yet, but they are likely going to put an end to daily doubles in college football. They want to reduce and minimize the attempts at concussions. And so what they're going to do is say, all right, two practices a day, not so fast, my friend. You can just do one per game. And a lot of the fear is that, well, this is going to, guys on time on the field, it's not going to bode well for the sport. It's going to be even more sloppy than it already is to start the season. One thing that they're going to do, though, and I think that this is going to be great, is that they are going to extend training camp out a week. So you just basically started a week earlier. Mm-hmm. So those daily doubles that you're missing, you make up for in that week. So you're not really losing any practices.
Right.
But you get more time. So on the mental side of the game, dare I say, college football should be sharper when you have your paws on these guys for an extra week.
Here's the bigger question, though. Where do fans sit? Where is everybody that consumes this product on Saturdays and, well, Fridays and I guess Thursdays too? Where are you going to sit if you think the product isn't as good? Did you watch college football this year? Is this going to affect how you consume it? Do you really care if there's two-a-days? No. Because you're not out there practicing. You're not out there doing it. Okay? As media people, there are some people that cover practice. Some teams have open practice. Others don't. Coaches close it. Some do. Some don't. Do you really care? That's my thing is that there's always this outrage that we need to protect the players and protect the future and the health of the game. But I honestly, in my true soul, I don't think anybody really cares. I think it's fun to be outraged by the fact because a guy got hit in the head and you'd be like, wow, that's a dangerous hit. The targeting rule is the number one rule in all of sports, especially college football. It should be thrown out. It's the dumbest rule ever made.
I think it modified.
No, there's no way a player should be kicked out of a game.
Well, that's why I'm saying modified.
Yeah. Secondly, you as a fan too, and that's the thing is that fans consume it because it gives them pleasure, gives them the dopamine release of the excitement of the game. That's why you do it. If you take away two-a-days and this game starts to suffer, can we see the clamoring for will bring back more contact because these guys are soft? Which teams are the strongest, most physical teams in all of college football? Is it the teams that hit the most, or is it the teams that are the best athletes?
See, and I think that those people are looking at the game of football the wrong way. Because football is beyond that point. They call it, and we get this, the war on football. We get emails, actually.
Constantly.
I get emails all the time about the war on football.
Moms attacking football.
And that is where football is at right now, is that you need to take these measures to protect the game. And this is nothing but a good for the game.
But what are we protecting the game from? Who are we protecting the game for? Because
for people to play and continue to grow.
Because there's always going to be somebody that's going to get on an airplane that only has one engine. You know, there's always going to be somebody that does a couple things because they need to get there, right? Mm-hmm. They have to get there, and that's their only option. There's always going to be people that play this sport. Who are we protecting football from? Who are moms afraid of? Well, I don't want it. Bo Jackson came out and said, I wouldn't put my kids in. Fine, Bo. That's fine. There's only 1% of 1% to get to the level of where professionals and even collegiate players are at. So when everyone's always worried about protecting, it doesn't matter how much we protect this game. There's always going to be somebody that just goes to the wayside and says, take away two-a-days, take away helmets, take away everything you want. I'm still playing.
But I think that if you don't have people playing the game, the popularity decreases.
Well, it's safe to say that as long as there's finance and there's money in something, somebody will always do it.
Right, but in that regard, yes, but if you don't have people that are growing up and playing the game, they'll fill that time with something else.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
In order to have that, I mean, you have to have the masses play the sport. I mean, that's why, like, cricket isn't popular. Cricket's an entertaining game.
Well, football's our game. It's America's game. We can't compare it to soccer because we didn't create soccer. America made football great, and that's what we're proud of. It's what we mm-hmm. put our staple on. It's part of us. It's part of our history. It's what we do in sports. So this clamoring and understanding is that I think it's good that two-a-days are gone. I think that football is evolving. I think it's smart with our helmet technology. I think it's very good about how we practice. I think the game is faster. I think the game is all about entertainment. And that's really what you're doing. You're entertaining.
It's a business, right?
It's a certain business.
Well,
and it's meant for certain people.
But in every business, it's foolish to sit there and say we don't want as many people to have our product as possible, right? If you were to run a business, you want it to be attractive to as many people as possible. And that's what they're trying to do with making the game safer, is make it so as many people as possible play the game and continue to consume the game at the levels that they currently do. So I think you have to make these moves to appease those people.
Yeah, I don't think you have
masses.
To do. Well, I don't. And here's the thing is that if you think football is ever going to go away, the violence, I've said this before.
I'm not saying that.
If anybody thinks that you're seeing an end of an era of football, you're bonkers. Okay. Modern gladiators are what football players are. Thousands of years of things have happened. Just like in the center of Rome, you showed up and you watched it. That's kind of what human nature is. We want to see these things. Football is the modern gladiator sport. It's the ultimate machismo sport. It's the ultimate violence. Why is UFC worth $2 billion now? Well, is that safe to hit each other in the head and beat the crap out of each other? No. You don't see that worried about it. But hundreds of thousands of people are doing MMA fighting on the street. Businesses are opening.
They are?
When I say businesses opening up on the street, small businesses, come train your child as an MMA fighter.
Oh.
I've seen it.
I've never seen the come train
so your
child. So
while I
MMA.
Say it's great to want more safety, I do believe that it's smart to evolve with sports. It really is.
You got to do it.
It's not ever going to go away. So those of you that want to see, just jump in the herd and grab your pitchforks and your torches and chase down and beat down football, it's never going to work.
Yeah, and this game says you're protecting the game from the lawyers too. And these concussion lawsuits are a big reason why you change that. Good text at 55305.
Well, and that's another thing is concussion lawsuits came to the fact of health insurance and worried about players in the future. That's exactly what this lawsuit was. It's great. It's moved forward. It's protected guys in the future. There's plenty of money to go around. But let's get off the train that football is going to be the safe, gushy sport for everybody.
Yeah, this person says football isn't going anywhere. Who cares if it doesn't grow? It's already massive. We don't want it bigger.
What do you mean we don't want it bigger?
Of course you want it bigger.
Absolutely you want it bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger and better.
Yeah. I mean, there's billions of people around this world that aren't playing football yet. Imagine if they do.
Well, if the NFL wants to do that, that's fine. We're very happy here with having this sport. Yeah. I love my Super Bowls, I love my playoffs, and I love my college football.
I do too.
And take away 2-a-days, because that makes me happy. Because I hated 2-a-days.
Right?
God, did I hate 2-a-days.
But
ice tubs and soreness. But I'll tell you what, being with your buddies and you think back to that, those times?
Those are the best times.
Those are the greatest times you've ever had.
Yeah.
And those that never experienced it can't get that feeling, and will never get that feeling.
And the party that ensued when 2-a-days was over.
Oh my gosh. I'll tell you what.
That's
an hour segment of NFL party.
Those I couldn't imagine the NFL ones because broke college kids.
Yeah, well, broke college kids with Schmidt beer and maybe some Pabst Blue
Ribbon.
But
you go after it like it was the best day of life because 2-a-days was over.
Yeah.
Side note, Officer Potter, one of the responding officers to the party that we had in Ashland.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Shout outs, Officer Potter. That was a hefty ticket.
Did he
noise violation?
Hefty ticket?
Yeah.
He didn't give you a warning?
No, it wasn't his call.
That's
it wasn't
weak.
His call. No. No. Whatever though. Whatever. I've gotten over
need
it.
Some help from the guys.
No, it was pretty
loud.
They don't
know how to give you a little lenient.
It was pretty loud.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. All right. Three are getting into the Hall of Fame. A list that is clouded in controversy. Just as much as it was talented on the field, man. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.